make you think twice, and maybe even three times. Here's the Healthy Skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
This is another show on a condition called PANDAS, and my guest is Diana Pullman, the founder and director of PANDAS.org. And unfortunately, she had a child who was diagnosed with this condition, and I assume that is what made her go on and start this organization. Diana, welcome to the show, and tell me the story. When did it happen, and how terrible was it?
Yeah, thank you very much. And unfortunately, fortunately, it was a long time ago in my mind now. It was 2007. My son was 7 years old. I lived here right next to Stanford University in California. And my son got a strep infection in December, and it wouldn't go away for months and months. It kept reoccurring. Finally, by August, the first day of second grade, he completely slipped out. This child that I had known before, very reasoned, really sweet, really fun, very affectionate towards his baby sister, came home from second grade and fell through the door. Always makes me sad, but anyway, fell through the front door and said, "Mommy, everything is poison. The television is poison. Turn it off. Turn off all the lights. There's poisonous things coming out of the television, out of the lights." And he began to round throughout the house and screaming that I needed to watch out and that I was going to die. He was completely different
Yikes.
Child.
I thought somebody had behavior
raped
change.
Him or
he was possessed. Yeah,
when Dr. Shulman was speaking, or when you read these, you know, very antiseptic medical papers, when they say catastrophic overnight onset, it really underplays how bad it is. And he then began to, have very regressive behavior. He had to hang on my leg. Eventually, we had to take all the doors off of the inside of our house because he had to hide everywhere because he was sure that something would get him. And we had
so
to tell him.
That is incredible. So what did you do? Who did you take him to? And did they figure it out, or did it take months to even figure out what happened?
So my father had been a pediatrician at Stanford, thank God, so I had some contacts, and they were all very compassionate, and they said they had no idea what was happening. And he, after several months, I would say 6 months of acute suffering, and then he began to have neurological problems besides tics and stuttering and various strange body movements and eye dilation, began to have changes in taste, smell, touch, and I knew something neurological was going on there. At that time, we did an MRI. They still couldn't see anything, but the doctor was compassionate and said, "You're Dr. Miller's child. I'll give you some azithromycin." And within 48 hours of taking the azithro, I would say he was about, 20% better.
So why did it take so long? So you said earlier that he had this strep infection for a long time. Was he complaining of a sore throat at all?
Kept going back. I kept doing rounds of antibiotics. So December, we did a round. February,
so the Zithromax is what did it? The Zithromax is what knocked it out?
We did penicillin and Augmentin, and it did not work. And there was an outbreak of strep in the Stanford community, and there continues to be here in Northern California. Stanford University is very concerned about it. There's a lot of SANDIS in our area. Well, a lot meaning, 5-10 cases per winter. So we think it is a particular strep strain in this area, and they're trying to get a grip on that now.
What are the numbers? I mean, how common is this? Is it out of 100, 1,000?
Right. So we're saying 1 in 200. So I founded PANDAS Network so that I could work as a nonprofit with the National Institute of Mental Health to try to figure out what's going on. We raise money and things like that. And we've, without going on all the details, we believe it's about 1 in 200. Let's say 100 out of that 1 in 200 are mild cases, like stuttering or tics that may go away on their own or may persist. And the children probably deserve some treatment as well. Yeah, cases are probably very severe, and we think it's a cases of sudden onset of late regressive autism-like stuff. or quote, pediatric bipolar. We think there's a lot of misdiagnosis going on.
I would say son, an enormous amount.
I'm trying to be diplomatic.
You don't have to be. I mean, we're here to educate and say, listen, think about this when you see this doctor or parent. You have to kind of be your own kid's advocate and tell the doctor, listen, this is not my child. Something's going on here.
What we're finding is that we tried to do antibiotics off and on for a year, and we did a tonsillectomy, mm-hmm. which did prove to be, really substantially healed him quite a bit overnight. I would say by 50% he improved after the tonsillectomy and adenoidectomy. Not all kids are like that, but it was for him. And we eventually had to move to intravenous immunoglobulin. Stanford University would not do it at that time, and they still cannot do it, generally because insurance won't cover it. But there's a few great doctors on the East Coast, Dr. Latimer at Georgetown and Diamond Klosovic in Chicago, Dr. Schulman, who will do IVIG for cases that simply will not remit. And they're not mild OCD. They're terrible OCD that absolutely needs intravenous immunoglobulin or pheresis.
So how hard is it to diagnose it? Because it is easy.
It's easy. The mom comes in or the father comes into the doctor's office on their knees begging for help. It's that severe and dramatic and scary. It's very intense.
How is your organization? How is the organization doing in terms of raising money? Is it easy or difficult?
It's hard. It's hard to get any grants. As of this year, we just really started writing grants this year, and we didn't receive any money from the grants because I think it's such a new illness that donors aren't quite sure what's going on. The community itself raised almost $130,000 just this last month to fund some wonderful studies some of the doctors have created at Stanford and Mass General. Some sole practitioners are doing tonsil studies. And pupillary eye dilation is a big thing, some studies with that. And there is some new research looking at certain antibodies that are absolutely crossing the blood-brain barrier that have been identified, so we're funding some of that research too. We have to work hard.
Do you think there are a lot of children that are being treated for psychiatric illnesses their whole lives, and it really is not that?
I know absolutely, 100% sure.
And is it reversible? Let's say after they've had this for 10 years, you got to catch it quick.
I think you got to catch it within the first 2 or 3 years, but we're not sure because nobody followed the children long enough.
We need to raise some more money for your organization so we can do some studies. So everybody listening, go to the website pandasnetwork.org. And be extremely generous. Give as much money as you can, because if you die with that money, you're not going to be any happier. So give some money to Pandas, please, so they can figure out what's the best course of action and treatment so that these kids can get appropriately diagnosed, appropriately treated. And I think it's a great cause, a great organization, and I urge everybody listening to help support Diana Pullman, the founder and director of Pandas. Fight the fight, get some money, and make some changes. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD, reminding you never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.